Shalom, precious saints of God. I'm Reverend Sheila Crawford of Shofar Ministries. Welcome to the news portion of our program. Let's begin with Israel, who has just today released 26 more longer-serving Palestinian prisoners as part of the U.S. brokered deal last August with the United States that, if you remember, was the prerequisite by the Palestinians to begin the Mideast peace talks, which, by the way, appeared not to be doing very well. But Israel is holding true to its word, and this is the second group of 26 terrorists to be let out, many of which were convicted of murdering innocent Jews. There will be at least two more groups of terrorists released. Not sure when, but probably soon. And yes, some released from the first group have already been arrested for more crimes. Also, the Israeli Defense Force found yet another tunnel from Gaza into Israel. These tunnels, and there are many, are used as an escape route for themselves and to move kidnapped Jewish soldiers, as well as the transference of weapons. And Hamas from Gaza has been firing missiles into Israel, but they are retaliating. But an amazing occurrence happened that I have to tell you about. Israel, just on Saturday, last Saturday, erected their first Iron Dome system in Tel Aviv. The other four are more to the south. And then just 2 days later, on Monday, yesterday actually, it intercepted its first missile heading directly to that major and highly populated city. That would have just been awful. For those of you that just really don't know a lot about the Iron Dome system, I have to tell you, it's amazing. The system detects launches of rockets and quickly determines their flight path. If it is headed toward populated areas or sensitive targets in Israel, it fires an interceptor with a special warhead that strikes the incoming rocket within seconds. Rockets headed toward open areas are allowed to land so to not waste an expensive interceptor. But this is amazing technology. It's just so sensitive that it would know even where it's going to land. I don't know. It just is amazing to me. But anyway, if Hamas can fire off many missiles, that would not be good, because if they did it very quickly, some would undoubtedly get through. And they have already said that Tel Aviv is the city they want to take down first. That, my friends, would be the start of the Psalm 83 war. It is very close to happening. My thoughts are maybe around the time of that blood moon in April. Email me and tell me what you think. And in Europe, anti-Semitism is growing by leaps and bounds very quickly, where most Jews are now having to hide their identity, never wearing kippahs or anything identifying out in public. Many are leaving for Israel like God said they would. Now, on to Syria. Syria has just been told that Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas will no longer help the rebels and instead support Assad. And he's actually signed a cooperation accord with him. I guess we know who's going to win, because Abbas is trying to get on the right side. I think he might have some inside information, especially since it is now well known that Iran and Russia have even stepped up their supplies. They are determined that Assad will be victorious. Meanwhile, in Egypt's military, General Isi is gaining popularity with the people and will most likely be their new leader. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood are furious and continue to take it out by slaughtering at least, so far, 1,000 Christians, and they burned down at least 50 churches. And they're blaming the Christians for Morsi's ousting. Naturally, the Obama administration, which is now mostly made up of Muslim Brotherhood or at least Muslim Brotherhood supporters, is questioning Sisi's legitimacy and presenting him as the leader of a coup and a usurper of power. This is creating an opening for a Russian comeback in Egypt, and they have been talking. By Obama deciding to cut its financial aid to Egypt and postpone the delivery of weapons systems already ordered, we have now overturned the long-standing correlation between financial assistance and Egypt's honoring the peace treaty that they made with Israel many years ago. However, to compensate, Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates gave Egypt's military $14 billion. Egypt knows it will not be in any more need of conditional U.S. financial assistance anymore. The mood of the Egyptians toward the United States has changed from friendship and admiration to open hostility, thanks to our president. In fact, the crisis with the United States has helped General Sisi build up his leadership credentials as a daring Egyptian nationalist who does not retreat before a dying superpower. And most believe we are sinking fast. Well, that's enough yuck for tonight, and I welcome your comments. You can send me an email to sheila@shofarministries.net. And let me know if you'd like to be added to our send list for occasional updates. Also this Friday, join us at Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road. That's Route 306 in Chesterland at 7 p.m. Please come and commune with us. John leads us with some awesome worship. Finally, donations are very important to this end time ministry. So pray and ask the Lord what you can do, for he will bless you for doing so. Now, don't move that mouse. The Shofar Ministry Hour continues right now.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe. Good evening. You are listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, and the World Wide Web, WHKWradio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host, with our steadfast, steady as ever, Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. And right now, listeners, I want to remind you about our website, shofarministries.net. Should you want to re-listen to this program or any of our other programs, they're all there for you to find and for your learning experience. And hopefully, you will share these with others. Don't keep a good thing just to yourself. Well, we're going to start out this evening, as we always do, with a prayer. And I do want to thank the Lord God, our Savior, who has made it possible for us to be on the radio and to get his word out to his church. And so, Abba, Father, we thank you for that. We want to lift up the many people that have called in this week with their specific requests. Abba, we just ask that you honor those requests, whatever they, some are for healing, some are financial needs, but they're all your people, and we trust that you will answer their prayers as we continue, actually, throughout the week to lift them up. Also, I'd like to lift up Joycelyn, very key person to Shofar Ministries, and that you speed her recovery up. And also for our contributors, who have so graciously given us the funds to be able to stay on the air. Please continue to bless them financially and spiritually, bless their families. And I also want to lift up some very special Americans tonight, those that are ground troops in Afghanistan and other Middle Eastern locations. Father, they're really fighting for good against evil, and we just ask you that you protect them and that you cause them to make the right decisions and you bring them home safely. We also want to lift up those who are being persecuted for being Christians. in the Middle East, whether they're Coptic Christians or whatever you want to call them. They believe in you. They believe in Jesus. And because of that, they're being killed and murdered and tortured and harassed, and their churches are being burnt down. Lord, let those in Washington do something, or at least let them know that something needs to be done so we can do something about that. In the meantime, we can just pray and lift them up as we do every week. And also finally want to pray that no one loses heart. Even though the news is bad, that we know that there's good people out there, and we know that you're in control of everything, Father, and we thank you for that. We even thank you for our afflictions, because they make us grow stronger in you, and they bring out the person, they bring out the Yeshua in us that you want to see and that the world needs to see, this desperate world that's perishing with sin. So we just thank you again and praise you in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John. And once again, I always love your descriptive adjectives for me. But I have to say, you too are also steadfast. And I pray that all you out there listening remain steadfast as we are all being tested in these days, what could be actually the last months before his return.
They sure could. They sure could, Sheila. And we must remain vigilant in our study of God's Word as well, right?
Yes.
Hey, got to tell you, the phone lines are open for your end time question. So, listener, if you have a question, just call 888-677-WORD, W-O-R-D. And please keep your question limited to a question about Hebraic roots or eschatology, or tonight's subject, which we'll tell you about later. Now, remember, you can always email Sheila with your question, and we'll answer it for you next week. And in order to do that, you just email her, Sheila@shofarministries.net. And it's simple as that. So if you're shy, just email. Okay? So, what is our agenda tonight? And I have a feeling it's going to be, since you're dressed in a Spider-Man costume, it's going to be a very interesting show.
I am not. Okay. A subject really needs to be addressed, though, is the sinister origins of Halloween, especially in these last days. But wow, the secular world is heavily embracing it as their most favorite time of year above everything.
Oh, excuse me, Sheila, did you say secular world? Most of those who claim they're Christians are the ones that are celebrating it.
Well, they're celebrating as well.
As well.
Yes.
And you know, that we learned a long time ago that Halloween surpassed Christmas
Isn't that sad?
The national favorite holiday. Oh.
But there is still a remnant that recognize evil when they see it.
Okay, so let's begin by doing a little history on this Halloween thing, okay?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Sure. Hollywood had its beginings.
Hollywood.
Did I say Hollywood?
You sure did.
Tell it's a live show.
And I could see why you would make that little Freudian
slip. It fits. It really fits.
So just substitute Hollywood whenever you hear Hollywood.
Yeah, really? All right, stop. Halloween.
There you go.
Had its beginnings in an ancient pre-Christian Celtic Festival of the Dead. The Celtic people, originally from ancient Britain and Ireland, and actually later they were found all over Europe, but according to their Celtic calendar, the year begins on November 1st, the new year.
Hmm.
Now, this date marks the beginning of winter, a time when cattle and sheep had to be moved to closer, more secure pastures, and crops were stored for the winter months. But the Celtic people engaged in occultic arts and worshiped nature and the universe, giving it supernatural, idolatry-like qualities. Their learned but pagan priests were called Druids, whose beliefs and practices were similar to Hinduism. such as reincarnation and the transmigration of the soul, where bad people may be reborn as animals. This transference occurred on what they called the festival of Samhain, the Lord of Death, which just happens to be on October 31st.
Which would be the night before their new year, November 1st, and the last day of the old year. So you're saying this Lord of Death would gather the souls of the evil dead who had died over the past year and then condemn them to enter the bodies of animals?
Yes, on October 31st.
Wow.
And these animals would be particularly black cats, but not exclusively.
Hmm.
It was the supreme night of demonic jubilation. This was a celebration of the beginning of winter and darkness as daylight grew noticeably shorter and the night gets lengthier. In fact, we have a time change coming up this week, and now our nights will be longer as well. It just so happens that Halloween is Thursday, but it's actually before the night gets longer this year.
Oh, well, that's good.
But anyway, the hordes of hell would roam the earth in a wild celebration of darkness and death, all in honor of the god of Samhain.
Hmm.
The only thing the superstitious people knew to do to protect themselves on such an occasion, and they really believed this, was to masquerade as one of the demonic horde and hopefully blend in unnoticed among them.
Well, that's a proven survival technique.
Yes. This is the origin of Halloween, masquerading as devils, imps, ogres, and other demonic creatures.
And to blend in with the demons?
Yes.
Well, if you get one slip up, I get one too.
Yes, you do. Okay.
Okay.
Anyway, they use numerous lighted candles, some inside real skulls that they would carry for the spirit's guidance in their ceremonies, which included sacrifices to the god Samhain, burning large bonfires, giving various gifts, and offering many prayers to the false god Samhain for protection from any evil spirits that would wander off to possibly migrate into the people.
Well, you know, what you've described here is what we see today, and you would never think bonfires, and
you see the
costumes, the demonic looking costumes, and you also see skulls, and some with the light inside of them.
Skeletons.
Okay, so this stuff wasn't dreamed up in this century. This stuff goes way, way, way back to the time of the Druids.
The Druids, that was before Christ.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This goes way, way back.
Way, way back.
Okay,
yeah.
So getting candy from your neighbors, how did that start? Trick-or-treating, how did that start, though?
Well,
that wasn't the Druids weren't doing that, I don't think.
Well, interesting enough, since they believed that the dead would rise out of their graves and wander the countryside, trying to return to their previous homes, that's another thing they thought.
Oh, yeah.
Frightened villagers tried to appease these wandering spirits by offering them gifts of cakes, fruits, and nuts.
Hmm.
And if these spirits are not pacified, the villagers feared that the spirits would kill their flocks or destroy their property. So that's where they got
that tradition of giving.
It started there, and then it changed a little as it's gone on.
Obviously, like a lot of this stuff, it had its origin. There may have been some real stuff going on back then. And I heard the Druids.
Oh, I believe so.
I believe the Druids were enchanters.
Well, we know there's demonic spirits.
Absolutely. And we know they are powerful.
The Bible tells us that.
But here, what's becoming clear is this is really just a blasphemous perversion of the Christian belief in the resurrection, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, instead of being resurrected in a glorified immortal body, we have these zombies, these walking dead.
That's right. The dead are raised as horrifying creatures of the night, hideous monsters, decaying skeletons, vampires, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. They receive not glorified bodies, but grotesque ones, and not immortal bodies, but inhuman ones.
Wow. Satan perverts every good thing from God, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Everything.
Yeah, everything.
So, after the church was birthed, and after Constantine had compromised with the pagans.
So after, what, 315 A.D.?
Yes, I believe probably more in the 600s, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
believing that on the 31st, again, they're still believing that on the 31st of October, the bad spirits were roaming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they believe this.
Mm-hmm.
Catholic Church believe this.
Mm.
So then the Catholic Church made November 1st, which would be the next day, All Saints Day, where they thought a good departed spirit could finally leave purgatory and go into heaven if their time was fulfilled or if enough indulgences had been paid by their loved ones through the church. Mm. So it became a day to literally pray for the dead.
Yeah, praying for the dead, which is against Scripture.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's All Saints Day. Now, what about, isn't there an All Souls Day?
That's right.
Okay,
two. Let's remember, the 31st is for bad spirits, Roman.
Okay.
So they made note the next day, All Saints Day, when they said now the good spirits could go from purgatory to heaven. They want to kind of counteract that.
Okay.
Okay. Well, then later they made the day after that, November 2nd, as All Souls Day.
Oh, okay. Okay.
To memorialize the family's dead loved ones who had died the previous year. And they memorialized by going to their graves, praying for them, and light candles as well, because they were now trying to pray them out of purgatory because they're still there, they believe, after a year.
So this came about, you think, around 600?
All Souls Day, probably a little later than that.
Okay.
Okay. I could have went into I could have done a little more research, but I'll tell you what, this is a lot of work here.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
So I didn't know that was real important, but I do remember as a child, since I was raised Catholic, doing just this a time or two, recognizing All Saints Day for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't see that as being too evil, especially maybe.
Well, you don't pray for the dead either way.
Well, you don't pray for the dead because they might pray for you.
Stop. But no, we just don't pray for the dead because the Bible's clear.
We have one mediator.
Yeah, and once you die, then the judgment.
Yeah, then.
So, amen.
Amen.
Now, isn't it interesting? And this is really interesting. Martin Luther chose October 31st in 1517 to nail his famous 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg, Germany, which started the movement known today as the Reformation, which, of course, to me is the single most important event in modern history.
Hmm.
So one of the heresies he was protesting was against the sale of indulgences for souls in purgatory. You see, they would sell them a lot during the season because people wanted their dead loved ones to get out of purgatory and go to heaven. So they would rush to the church and buy all these indulgences thinking that that was going to help them.
Oh, so I couldn't. So
right.
Martin Luther chose his time very wisely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's, you know, and when I say 95 theses, it's 95 areas that the church was wrong in. He, you know, he put it up on the church door, but he did it on October 31st. And I just never knew why.
Why he chose that particular day.
With doing all this research that I've been doing this week.
Well, when you fill in the cracks or the chinks in history, it becomes interesting. When you just read a bunch of facts, it's hard to keep up with it. But
absolutely.
But here it puts life into this history, and we now know something about Martin Luther that we didn't know before.
That's right. That's right. So, but anyway, now let's go back to the Feast of Samhain, which today we call Halloween.
Right, right. Now, where did the name Halloween come from? Is that some sort of...
Oh, well, it was in England. Saints or holy people were actually called hallowed. You know, hallowed be thy name, and they would call saints hallowed.
Okay.
It meant holy, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So the name came All Hallows Day.
Wow.
That the evening before the feast became known as All Hallows Eve.
Oh.
And then later they shortened it to Halloween.
Okay,
so
now
that's how we got it.
Oh, okay. Now, is this worldwide? Because I'm assuming there's probably this in different countries, they do the same thing only in different ways.
Yeah, they have different ways. Yeah, and I was not going to study each country.
Oh, okay.
But for those of you out there that would like to do that, actually, you can go on the Internet and just put in Halloween. You'll get all kinds of stuff.
Well, I think I might do that this year because this is very interesting.
It is interesting. But we only have an hour show. Anyway, over here in America, Halloween was really not even widely practiced until like the 20th century
mm-hmm.
when it became a secular observance.
Wow.
And, of course, it was always spiritual. Mm-hmm. And many various customs and practices developed. Now, the carved pumpkin originally was a large turnip, most likely originated with the witch's use of a skull with a candle inside, as I already mentioned, that lit the way to coven meetings.
Mm.
That's what they did. Eventually, kids would dress up as something evil, knocking on doors, saying, if you give us a treat, usually a small cake, the goblins and spirits will leave you alone, similar to what I already said.
Yeah.
But finally, it eventually turned into any costume, not just, you know, evil stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And because some parents were, and people were trying to get away from the more sinister and move to the more acceptable and cute.
Mm.
Today we see.
Well, yeah,
that,
that's what we see today, and that's why most parents do this.
Yeah.
Or let their children do it.
And, you know, that wouldn't be as bad, naturally, except there are more wicked people out there today than back then. In fact, Satanists use this day for their masses and ritual sacrifices.
Wow.
Today it has evolved, and there is no denying it is Satan's favorite holiday. In fact, it's called Satan's Feast Day. Some even say it's Satan's birthday. I don't know why.
Hmm.
But the card-carrying Satanists who can demand the day off from work, they do it and say it's a religious holiday, and they have the right to do it.
Hmm.
And, of course, most places of employment encourage workers to dress in a costume.
Yeah, and it would be hard to find a restaurant right now that doesn't have the Halloween motif all over their establishment.
That's right.
You see it everywhere.
However, and this is why I'm still against Halloween.
Okay.
It really is a door that can lead to a serious entanglement with the occult.
I agree.
Which has become increasingly popular. A common pastime, especially on Halloween, is the use of a Ouija board to attempt to contact ghosts or spirits, which could have serious consequences, including demon possession. Demons have a vested interest in Halloween, offering novel and unexpected opportunities to control and influence particularly the young, and can introduce forces into people's lives that they are not equipped to combat.
Well, you know, there is genuine power in the occult, and it's always demonic.
That's right. Yeah. Why don't you, you know what, I'll just say it. Ephesians 6 says that we do wrestle against the rulers of darkness, and these are demons. So you either believe what the word says or you don't.
Wow. And then, of course, we taunt him when we purchase.
Well, yeah, and yet we taunt him.
We're sticking our thumbs up or in our noses and going la-di-da-di-da when we do this.
Yeah, any type of participating in these kind of activities is what you're doing.
I don't even recommend taunting the devil because he's for real and he has power and... The only reason he's not bothering you, if you're a Christian listening, is because God told him he can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do have some protection.
Yes, we do.
1 Thessalonians 5:22 tells us to avoid all forms of evil. And in 3 John 11, it says that we're not to even imitate it. So isn't that what Halloween is?
Well,
imitating?
Well, since you put it that way, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know what? I would like to know then, what we as parents, as Christian parents, would have our children do.
Well, we're going to talk about that after we come back from playing your song, John, your single hit.
That is very singular.
That has not been played in a long time, and I just think that we should play that right now.
Well, that's really good. And then when we come back, we'll find out
we'll
what parents can
that.
Do with your kids on Halloween.
That's right.
All right.
Keep me in all of your paths, Lord, and make your ways known to me. Keep me as close as the dew is to the grass, as the sand is to the sea. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, oh Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, oh Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Your word is like a fountain, and it feeds the river of life. It gives grace to all the living, and it gives me joy inside. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I see your face, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. One of your sheep, Lord, and I'll no longer stray, and I'll feed with the flock in your pasture, and I'll do all that you say. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, oh Lord, I won't have to die. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly.
Whoa, beautiful.
Wow, thank you very much. That song was inspired a lot by Shofar Ministries.
Wow.
And I think Johnny Cash.
And a little bit of that, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of that. Well, he passed away, and that,
I
think
know.
I wrote that song in the same year that he did pass away.
Oh,
well, welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. We are doing a show tonight on the origins of Halloween. It's very interesting. We'll pick up with that. But first, do you have a question for Sheila, or would you like her to speak at your church or group? Just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net, or just call the office. 440-834-9006, and please leave a detailed message.
Your donations are really very vital to keeping this program on the air and are still tax deductible. So if you like this program and if you are being blessed and learning from our teachings, then please consider being a contributor of any gift or perhaps a monthly sponsor.
And if you have a business, we can do advertising for that as well. Just send your love offering, your gifts, to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513 in Burton, Ohio. Or on our web homepage, there is a Partner With Us button down there on the left side. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter, so include your email or house address. Okay. Well, all newsletters and previous radio shows are archived on shofarministries.net. And remember, those phone lines are open for your comments or questions relating to tonight's topic or end times.
That's right.
888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-6727. 9673. And remember, this Friday, we're going to be at Chester Christian Center. That's at 11815 Chillicothe Road or Route 306 in Chesterland. We begin with Messianic music right at 7 p.m. That's this Friday. Mark it on your calendar.
Hope to see you.
Yes, I hope to see you too.
All right. So let's get back to our wonderful topic.
which we didn't know was going to be Halloween.
We didn't.
No, we thought it was going to be Hollywood.
But... Oh, that's right. Okay, well, let's not go back there. People might have missed all that.
Might have missed all that, yes.
All right. Well, you know, it's interesting because in Jeremiah 10, verses 2 and 3, it basically says, "Learn not the way of the heathen, for the customs of the people are vain."
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't want us to partake in heathenistic things.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? There's this good scripture in 2 Corinthians 6:15. 16 and 17.
Now, I'll read that. I've got that marked out in my Bible. I wish I had it memorized.
Yeah.
What harmony can there be between the Messiah and Belial? And that's Belial, I guess. Which means the devil.
Yeah.
What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement can there be between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will house myself in them, and I will walk among you. I will be their God, and they will be my people. So, therefore, Adonai says, go out from their midst, separate yourselves.
Yes, that's it.
And
so, any serious study of biblical demonology will reveal Satan as the power behind all our false religions. Witchcraft, medium, spiritist, idolatry, you name it, the Word of God makes it clear that these are all to be shunned as dangerous and are expressly prohibited.
Now, it used to be, wasn't occultism in any form punishable by death?
Yeah.
Or was that Levitical law? Was that Levitical law?
Yes, of course it was Levitical law, but it even went further than that.
Oh, it did?
In some places.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Not so now.
Well, no, I guess not.
And, it, you know, it's pretty amazing to me because many, and some are even parents, are still actually encourage devil masks, evil costumes, witches' brooms, etc., witch costumes. And I know if you don't believe in God that you probably don't believe in the devil either. But let me tell you, you are probably in the greatest danger due to that ignorance.
That's true. And then Christian adults can't let you off the hook because by you doing it, you're giving sort of a sordid example to your children. You profess you know Jesus, yet you celebrate what is undeniably a night that encourages dark motives.
Unfortunately, the so naive disregard the dangers and insist, oh, it's just a fun day for the little ones to go to a few neighbors and ask for poison. Candy. I wish it was just that, but in reality, it can be dangerous, not just in eating too much sugar, which we now know is very unhealthy, but spiritually as well, since many of the seemingly harmless involvements associated with Halloween can also be entries for the occult and can prove very tragic for the unwary.
Yeah, and you did mention that's a gateway. This is a gateway night. We now know that when a young child looks on one of these evil made-up faces or a mask, it can cause nightmares.
Oh, yes.
And lasting images. And, of course, for the older, especially teenagers, this fosters curiosity, I think, in the occult.
I think so, too.
And then,
well, you know yourself some examples of that.
Yes, I do. And then that becomes like a doorway into some things that you don't want to even mess with.
No, you don't. So let's take a stand, church, and do not recognize this night of sorcery where there are many parties, seances, fortune telling, and satanic masses are held on this night, even sacrificing animals, and in some cases, small babies that were conceived for just this purpose, and they would have no record of birth, so they wouldn't be missed.
Mm-hmm.
It's just awful. There is no question that human sacrifices are still occurring today and actually are on the increase. There are more than 2 million children missing every year, as well as dogs and cats, and at least 7,000 children are found dead every year, along with many cattle mutilations where their organs are removed. And the highest Sabbath mass is on the eve, or is on Halloween, on October 31st.
A Sabbath mass or a satanic mass?
They call it a Sabbath mass.
They do, like a...
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not quite sure why they call it that, but that's what it's called. Black Sabbath mass.
Black Sabbath mass.
This is a time of proclaiming powers for control and leadership in the... satanic realm, you know, their satanic world systems. The blood sacrifices to attain spiritual power from Satan are offered up to the god of Baal, the sun god Ra, and the goddess of fertility Diana. And again, these names vary according to the area.
Do all followers have to participate in this?
Yes, absolutely. All the followers must give a blood sacrifice. Some give their own blood. Others offer animals' blood.
Well, I guess that the more power they want, the greater their sacrifice will have to be, right?
Yes, it is. And again, it's just gaining acceptance today. And these people are admitting that they're Satanists and that Halloween is their big night.
Well, didn't you used to have I know you had a deliverance ministry. Didn't you encounter people that had been messing around with the occult?
Yes.
And didn't they have a lot of problems from doing that?
Yes. Yep.
So it's a real deal.
It's a real thing. It's nothing to fool around with. And again, everybody says, well, these are just little kids that are just going to the neighbors and they're getting some candy. And you know, and I get that. I understand everything is so cute and everything like that. You know, and you have to be your own judge. I'm just telling you that it is Satan's night.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I just don't think we should recognize it. Maybe they could have a harvest party the week before, but definitely not on Satan's night, and they could dress up as Bible characters, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, receive a little candy.
Well, as a parent, though, what do you tell your children? Okay, their friends are out trick-or-treating. They want the candy, too.
Well,
so what are you going to say to them?
Until they're at least 4 years old, if you don't make a big deal out of it, they won't even know. You can hide it. You know, you don't have to even say much about it.
Mm-hmm.
After that, then it's time to tell them the truth that there's evil out in the world and we don't celebrate the evil days.
Hmm.
You just got to be honest.
But they're going to look at that and they're going to see this. They're going to see it as a child, and the child sees it as fun, and that our parents don't want us to have fun, and they don't want us to have candy.
Yeah, well, no. It's too bad.
So I guess what I'm
just too bad.
What I'm getting at is that we should, as parents, come up with a replacement for this.
Well, that's what I say. A week before, you could have a harvest party. You know, dress as Bible characters.
Yeah, elaborate on that a little bit.
And yeah, I was going to here in a minute.
Oh, okay, good.
But before I do that, I want to also mention something else. There is a there is every conceivable type of orgies that go on actually before October 31st, starting at around the 18th. And they get more perverse as it reaches its peak of wickedness on the 31st.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And those who have been set free, thank God, have testified that real disembodied spirits are loosed.
Hmm.
And they're competed for by spiritualists, witches, druids, still druids here today, wizards, and Satan worshipers. All of the corrupt, evil, wickedness, and vile filth one could imagine happens during these times.
Well,
that's what they have said.
And God says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove
them.
That's
right.
That's in Ephesians
Not
5.
Not accept and compromise. Reprove. Tell people. So, again, instead, make this a night of praying over your children for protection.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And over other innocent children that are out there.
Hmm.
And as I said, my recommendation is to have a Bible harvest party, but do it way before, never on the same night. And an idea would be during Tabernacles, which is just a few weeks before, for Jesus' birthday. Actually, you know, we teach that it is Jesus' birthday, and that would be a good thing to do.
And then, of course, now you're going to get trick-or-treaters knocking on your door. What do you tell them? Well, I guess you tell them you don't. I'm sorry, we don't recognize.
Well, sometimes you don't answer the door. You just don't participate. But others actually have said that they will open the door and explain to them why they don't celebrate this evil night. And tell them that, you know, depending on their age, they need Jesus. And just plant seeds if you can. Because those seeds can bear fruit even much later in life.
Well, that's true. And, you know, the Bible warns us to be sober, be vigilant. And it says, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks around seeing who he can devour.
And, you know, he really does.
Yeah.
No, he's out there. He's looking for entries. He's looking for open doors. And when you have a night like Halloween, when so many people are out there looking like devils and that, I'm telling you, they're taking a big chance.
Yeah, and he really is after you and your family and your children, and especially your children. And you can see the catch-22 in this, that children see no harm in this. It seems like an innocent thing to them. But we, now that we know what we know, what are we going to do with that information, right?
Mm-hmm.
So start your habits. Establish a good, godly habits with your young children early, so when they do become old enough to go out and trick-or-treat, they'll have
If you're reading Bible stories to your children at starting very young in life, they already know that there's a devil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't see how hard it would be to say, oh, and you know what? There's a night every year that the devil has a party, and we don't want anything to do with that now, do we? And, you know, you're smart. You
mm-hmm.
you know, and then say it way ahead of time so that when the day finally comes, you can say, oh, this is that day, you know, and there's other kids that don't know what we know, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on your family, but.
Yeah, and this holiday, like we started the program, we said this was a big holiday. It's a big retail holiday. It's surpassed.
Oh, yeah.
They say it surpassed Christmas.
I know.
Retailers have said that. And so it's ingrained. It's ingrained in our culture. It's deeply ingrained in our culture. Now, if you're raising children, what do? You know, I know a lot of neighborhoods have stopped doing the trick-or-treating, and now it's mostly moved to the area of renting a party center and having a party. Now, what would you say about that?
Not on that night.
But not on that night.
Not on that night.
And that's important.
You should be in prayer, teaching your children, reading Bible stories. That's my opinion.
Well, that's a good opinion.
Do it the weekend before. You know, whatever, but not on that night.
I see.
Ever.
Hmm.
And you know, we are warned not to be ignorant of Satan's devices in 2 Corinthians 2:11. So why open that door? Christians should begin to pray for their families, church leaders, and cover the children with the blood of Jesus and the protection of God, especially during these days.
Hmm.
And be wise and have wisdom. Bind the powers of darkness and loose the power of God.
Hmm.
In Jesus' name, as Matthew 18:18.
And, of course, this is coming up at the end of the week here.
It is Thursday.
So now we've given you some ammunition, some spiritual ammunition for when it does come up on the calendar this week.
I hear it's supposed to be nice weather, but I hope it rains.
So you're praying for rain? And
we'll see if it rains, huh? I don't want to make light of it. It is really a serious
time. Yeah, I know, and that's partially why we wanted to make this kind of fun tonight. But when you get talking about this kind of subject matter, there's a lot of people that scoff and say, "Why just lighten up? I mean, come on, you're taking this Bible
and
stuff
a little
too seriously."
And you know what? That's their
seriously.
Choice.
Yeah, I know.
All I can do is present the facts.
Mm-hmm.
And then people can do their own thing. It's your choice.
I can tell you through personal experience that the Halloween is a gateway. And the things that you see and experience on Halloween are a gateway. They're a doorway.
Mm-hmm.
And that doorway might be just a little doorway to maybe using a Ouija board.
Yeah, and a lot has to do with what you do on that day.
Exactly.
That's true.
And if you use a Ouija board...
Ooh, those are bad.
They are bad, and they're proven to be bad.
Yes. I can tell you some stories, because before I was saved, I used a Ouija board, and oh, boy.
I know. You are unleashing the powers of darkness into your life, and you don't want that.
That's right.
Hmm.
Well, we have to go. Our time is up.
Well, before we go, I think I want to ask any of you who are listening tonight who may not know Yeshua as your personal Savior, or you just don't have a real close relationship with Him. You know, it's as easy to do. All you have to do is really just pray. And we recommend just getting on your knees. You can do that right now. And repent, particularly of those sins that keep you in bondage. You know, Jesus knows everything that you do. And He is right there. His blood will cover every sin that you could do, every sin that you will do, every sin that you have done.
Amen.
And all you need to do is to trust Him. And as you're praying to Him tonight, we pray with you that you commit or recommit your life to Him, to your Savior. Remember, He's the Savior of the whole world, and it's your choice whether you want to spend eternity with Him or the other guy we were talking about tonight.
Yeah. Right?
So you get to decide that.
And then go and fulfill the Great Commission. Do what Jesus told us to do. Go and tell others that Jesus loves them and wants them as one of His own. He doesn't want anyone to perish. For judgment is very near, by the way, as you know. So, John, could you say the Aaronic blessing from number 622 in his perfect language first?
Be happy to. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
Now remember, this Friday, Chester Christian Center, 7 p.m. Be there.
Yes, and till then,
Shalom, Yerushalayim.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper.
Not maybe.
That's right. Amen. Shalom.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.